Now let's continue on in Revelation, the second chapter. And it's very important for us to understand the parallelism between the 7 weeks of the harvest, as we find concerning counting toward Pentecost, and the seven churches having to do with the work that God is doing through the churches. Now, we know in Matthew 13 that it talks about the harvest at the end of the age. So, this is the first fruit harvest. We are part of the first fruits. In going through Revelation 2 and 3, we are seeing the problems and difficulties that we have within the seven churches, with attitudes, with spiritual problems, with physical problems, and so forth, those things which will keep us away or out of the kingdom of God. Now, God loves us. God cares for us. God has called us. God has given us his Spirit. So he's going to lead us and correct us and help us so that we can attain to eternal life. But Satan, the devil, is out there trying to divert our attention, trying to get us to accept his ways and his interpretations, now especially as pictured by the church in Pergamos, where Satan's throne was. Now let's continue on here. Verse 14. Let's see what God says. Let's see what Christ says as the head of the church to those in Pergamos. He says, but I have a few things against you because you have there those who hold the teaching of Balaam. Now, what is the teaching of Balaam? Teaching of Balaam is get the Israelites to come over here and participate in these pagan religions that are Satan's religions inspired by him. And once they participate and they have a feast, they will see how wonderful that these people are. And they will see what a great thing that this is. And yet at the same time, we are getting them to sin against God. That was his teaching. Balaam could not curse the children of Israel. So he taught Balak to have them come and participate in this in these religious events, and we'll get them to sin that way. Then God has to correct them. All right, so let's see that. Who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and to commit fornication? Exactly what happened with the children of Israel when Aaron built the golden calf while Moses was receiving the instructions of the Ten Commandments and the final instructions concerning the Sabbath day. If you can get them into idolatry, you get them into sin. And today, not only do we have religious idols around us, we have idols of things, idols of self, idols of other people. Now let's go on. Moreover, verse 15, you have those who hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. God hates a hierarchy where a man is put in charge between the people and God. And that's exactly what the whole priesthood of the Roman Catholic Church is all about. And so when the churches of God set up a hierarchy in the same way, what happened? What was the end result of that when it came to its full production of fruit? There was one man who was God's apostle, only apostle on earth. And he was told by his advisor that he had the office very similar to the office of His Holiness, so-called the Pope. Now, what happened when they exercised that authority? They went against Christ. And they caused fear. And they caused set the groundwork for false doctrine to come in. Now, notice what Jesus says. And this is what happened to that church, the biggest church of God in history in our time. Verse 16, repent. For if you do not repent, I will come to you quickly and will make war with them with the sword of my mouth through the word of God. Now, if there's one thing that you don't want Christ fighting against you because you have sinned so much that you now have joined the enemy. Just like the children of Israel did and the children of Judah did. God had to raise the sword of the Assyrians against the 10 tribes and the sword of Nebuchadnezzar and his armies against the children of Judah and carried them off into captivity. So there are many, many lessons for us here, see. So we need to repent of that. That's why, brethren, you will hear me say, and this is the important thing, it is your relationship between you and God the Father and Jesus Christ, and those of us who are elders and ministers and teachers, to teach you the true, pure Word of God so that you can increase in the intensity and in the degree of your relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. They're the ones that are going to give us eternal life. No man, no doctrine of men, no structure of men, but it's going to be God the Father and Jesus Christ. Now notice the warning that is given here. Verse 17, the one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So everyone, when we go through all of these things, all of these 7 churches, which picture the harvest up to the day of Pentecost, let's see the things that we need to repent of and that we need to change. All right? To the one who overcomes, I will give the right to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except the one who receives it. Now, correction came to those in Smyrna. The church was scattered. Now then, the church comes back again, weakened this time. Now we have the church at Thyatira, and I think it's very interesting that the Seventh-day Adventists go back and point themselves to this church at Thyatira, that that's where they originally came from. Now, if you have not seen the DVD we have put out by the Seventh-day Adventists, the Israel of the Alps, you be sure and write for it or email us or call us, and we'll send it to you. But there are many similarities with the Seventh-day Adventist. And all you have to do is compare the truth of God with the doctrines of the Seventh-day Adventist, and you will see that they have a mixture very similar to what we're going to read here with the church at Thyatira. Verse 18, and to the angel of the church at Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet are like fine brass. I know your works and love and service and faith and your endurance and your works, and the last are more than the first. Now, when you see that DVD about Israel of the Alps, you will understand what they had to endure. You will understand the works that they had. But I have a few things against you because you allow the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and eating things sacrificed to idols. Now, Jezebel was the daughter of the priest of Baal. That is like the Roman Catholic Church today. And the Waldensians did allow the Catholics to come in, and they compromised with them to hold back the persecution and death against them. They compromised with the Roman Catholic Church and the sacrifice of the Mass and with Sabbath keeping. Not all of them, but they were persecuted. They were worn down for almost 600 years. Tremendous thing that they went through. And they ended up being seduced by them. Now notice, verse 21, and I gave her time to repent of her fornication, but she did not repent. Behold, I will cast her into a bed and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation unless they repent of their works. God does not want us getting mixed up with the religions of this world that profess Christianity. They will lead us astray. Their doctrines are not of God, though they use parts of the Bible. And what it will do, it will put us into a situation where then we are going against God. Now notice what happens. Notice what Jesus says here, verse 23. And I will kill her children with death. Well, if you kill someone, they're dead, right? Does this mean the unpardonable sin? I will kill her children with death. Let's think on that for a minute. And all the churches shall know, this is what we need to realize. All the churches shall know that I am he who searches the reins and the hearts. And that is to try us, to test us, to see. You go back in the Old Testament and the reins have to do with the connection between you and God. And the reins have to do with how can God lead you with his Spirit. And how do you yield to God and yield to his Spirit? And he says, don't be like a horse or a donkey that needs a bridle. And some donkeys that need a 2x4 right smack in the middle of the forehead to wake them up, you see. No, we're not to be like that. But notice. Notice what he says here. Give to each one according to his works. So we need to understand, what are our works? And this is the Sabbath for us to examine our works, to examine ourselves, to compare ourselves with the seven churches and see where we stand before God the Father and Jesus Christ. That's why this is important for us to go through on this last day of the seventh week, because the seven churches picture the 7 weeks of harvest. All right, let's see what he says here. But to you I say unto the rest who are in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, and who have not known the depths of Satan as they speak. So I don't know what it means for brethren to get into the depths of Satan, but if they get into the depths of Satan, they are certainly going to commit the unpardonable sin. Would you not conclude? Yes, indeed. I will not cast upon you any other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And again, here is the warning to overcome, and it's to all the churches. So if you take all of these overcoming statements and put them together, you will see the full picture that Christ is giving to all of his churches. But notice what it says here. To the one who overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, I will give authority over the nations. We are going to rule the world. That's why we have been called, and we need to keep that in the forefront of our minds. Problems of the world are not going to be solved politically. Problems of the world are not going to be solved through the religious efforts of men in their false Christianity or other religions getting together with them. The only way they're going to be solved, brethren, is through those who are faithful to the end and attain to the first resurrection. And we receive the power and authority, as he's promised here, over the nations. And he shall shepherd them with a rod of iron. Going to have the authority of Christ. And as vessels of pottery are broken in pieces, as I have also received from my Father. And I will give him the morning star. That's eternal life. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So this is a time of examining ourselves, and this is a time of seeing where we are with God, with our lives, with our Christian character, with growing and overcoming. Now let's look at the church at Sardis. This is the most difficult one of all. And it's almost incredible how those who are in this attitude it's awfully hard for them to get up enough life to really do what they need to do. Verse 1, chapter 3. And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are as if you are alive, but are dead. So that's quite an indictment. Now they can repent because Jesus says repent. They can strengthen the few things that they have because Jesus tells them to. So he says, verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things that remain which are about to die. For I have not found your works complete before God. So we need to make sure that our works are complete. We need to make sure that they're based on the Spirit of God. We need to make sure that we are led of the Spirit of God. So notice what he says here. In this examination, therefore, remember what you have received and heard, and hold on to this and repent. Now then, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you shall by no means know what hour I come upon you. Now that doesn't mean at the end, because Christ can come upon us for judgment at any time. And all we have to do is look out and read and see the history of the churches of God and what God has done with them. See, it's so important for us to realize and understand that God has called us to eternal life and to rule the world. And that we be zealous with that. We go forward with that. We look to Christ and God the Father all the time. This is what it's all about. Let's go on. He says here in verse 4, you have a few names even in Sardis that have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white because they are worthy. The one who overcomes shall be clothed in white garments, and I will not blot out his name from the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and his angels. So they're right on the verge of losing salvation, right? Yes, indeed. Now, there are some churches of God who have been called Sardis by those of other churches of God. They may or may not be. But I'll tell you this, in virtually every church of God that I know of, you find every one of these seven attitudes, and you find those who are nearly dead. You're finding those who compromise doctrine. You find those who have the wrong church structure. You find those who have lost their first love. Now, there are people today who are being martyred for the name of Christ, standing for his name in many parts of the world. Now, how God views all of that, we'll look at it another time. But I tell you what, in the modern nations of Israel today, we have not suffered any of the things that we look at here in the seven churches, except to be dead, to bring in false doctrine, and to become lukewarm. All of those, they are here. And just because we haven't lived in an era where we have to go out and produce everything that we use, plant our own food, harvest our own food, and things like this, that doesn't mean that we don't have the same kind of problems that we find here in the seven churches. We do. So we need to examine ourselves. All right, verse 6, the one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, here's the church everyone wants to be, Philadelphians. And I tell you what, almost everyone that has called themselves Philadelphians have not been Philadelphian. Now, you judge the ones who fill this according to what it is spoken of concerning the church of Philadelphia. And Philadelphia means brotherly love. But you will also see that there is a deep love of God with the Philadelphians that they have, so they can love the brethren. Whereas with the church of Ephesus, they got so busy loving the brethren and doing physical things for people that they left off the first love of God. Because the truth is, you cannot really love the brethren unless you love God first. So let's see the message to the church at Philadelphia. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says the Holy One, the one who is true, the one who has the key of David. And the key of David is the understanding of the Word of God and the understanding of the relationship between you and God, as David was a man after God's heart, who opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. God has done that. That's for all the churches. He's opened and closed doors of opportunity in preaching the gospel to every one of the seven churches. Now notice the difference here. I know your works. Behold, I've set before you an open door, and no one has the power to shut it. So when God opens the door, we need to walk through it. In faith, not on our own strength. In truth, not on our own ideas. Because you have a little strength and have kept my word and have not denied my name. Now that says a lot there, doesn't it? Keeping the word of God. Brethren, that's why we always stress it's the full word of God. All the Word of God. Not like it was when I started out with how the evangelicals read one verse. That's their whole Bible. And they're actually in the business of trying to save themselves rather than relying on God. Now notice what's going to happen because of those who are faithful to God. We understand the conspiracy that's going on in the world. We understand who is behind the political and religious forces of this world. And we virtually know who many of them are. But I'll tell you one thing, fighting the conspiracy now is not what God wants us to do. We need to stay out of the way. We need to understand what's coming. We need to understand why it's coming. But notice, in the final analysis, verse 9, behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who proclaim themselves to be Jews, that is, Christians, and are not, but do lie. That's why we are to prove all things. Behold, I will cause them to come and worship before your feet, pay homage to you, and to know that I have loved you. And why does Christ love the Philadelphians? Perhaps more than all the others. He loves all of them. But just like with the 12 apostles, there was John, the apostle that Jesus loved. So likewise, the Philadelphia church here. Here's why he loves them. Verse 10, because you have kept the word of my patience. Always keeping the word of God. Always looking to what the scriptures say. That's what's important. And not getting our own ideas, not getting carried off in our own vanity, not getting swelled up in thinking that we're so important. Let God use us the way He wants and the way He wants and how He wants it. And always remember this. Always remember this. The entire ministry of Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh, was only 3.5 years long. Remember that. It's not necessarily what you do, but the quality and the spirituality of what you do. That's what it's all talking about here. You have kept the word of my patience. Notice, I will also keep you from the time of temptation, which is about to come upon the whole world, which is the coming mark of the beast. And there are provisions within Obamacare bill to put a chip in everyone who comes under Obamacare. Remember that. I've given a sermon on it. It is there. So we are living in times that we need to really pay attention to. Now, can they push that out? Possible. Can they repeal it? Possible. But that depends on the repentance and the degree of repentance of those of the children of physical Israel in America to do what is right. And as I have mentioned, first thing they need to do, what is right, they need to get right with God as they understand it. And then they need to get back to the Constitution as much as possible, because that is the judgment that God is bringing upon us, because that's what we declared that we would do if God would make us a separate nation, which he did. So is it possible to push it out? Yes. Will it be? We don't know. And also, it depends upon what the brethren in the churches do. Do we really want to serve God? Do we really want to love God? Do we really want to preach the gospel? And for the elders and ministers, do we feed the flock? All of those things are there. See, God's judgment is always upon us all the time. And if we have the right relationship with God, in prayer and study and attitude and yieldedness to him and loving Christ and loving each other, then the judgment is going to be for good and for blessing. The judgment is going to be for protection and watching over us and strengthening us. But if not, the judgment is going to be again for scattering. And it's going to come again. You wait and see. It is going to happen. All right, back to the church here of Philadelphia. Now notice, coming upon the whole earth to try those who dwell upon the earth. Behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast that you have, that so that no one may take your crown. Because there are carnal-minded, satanic people out there wanting to take your crown. I call them crown snatchers. So, don't let anyone take your crown. Notice what he says. What a fantastic blessing here. To the one who overcomes will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. He shall not go out any more. And I will write upon him the name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Three names from God the Father and Jesus Christ, and where we will be stationed, which will be in New Jerusalem. That's what we need to look forward to, brethren. Now notice what he says. The one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. So it's to all the churches, brethren. All of us. We all need to take stock. And one of the things that Jesus said back there in John, the 10th chapter, that my sheep hear my voice. And we need to hear the words of Christ. Now, the next one is the Laodiceans. And the Laodiceans we know about because that's probably us. And so what we need to do is be repenting, Laodiceans. Let's read it. Verse 14. And to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginner of the creation of God. I know your works. You're neither cold nor hot. So because you're lukewarm and are neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich and have become wealthy. See, become wealthy. And we never saw that in the church, did we? Became wealthy, the wealthiest church in the history of the churches of God. Have they been spewed out of the mouth of God? Yes, indeed. Where is it now? No longer exists. Who would have thought? See, when people get corrupt and they look to themselves, and they trust in their ways, and are rich and increased with goods and look to the goods and say, well, we must be blessed of God, see, have need of nothing. And you do not understand that you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And that means you can't see the truth of the Word of God, of your own attitude and things like this, and naked. You're really not clothed upon by God. So God says here, I counsel you to buy of me gold purified by fire, so that you may be rich, and white garments that you may be clothed, and the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve so that you may see. Now the salve you need is the Word of God. The washing needs to come from the washing of the Word of God to cleanse the heart, to cleanse the mind. See? So we need to be repenting. Notice what else will happen. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Now there may be some of you out there who still need to repent. Now, we have a lot of people that repent and come back, and we can help you if that's your situation. But you need to really be zealous for God, and you really need to ask God to come back into your life, because he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, and it's the door of your mind, number one. And it's the door of the return of Christ to this world, number two. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. That means that there are many who were in the church that were really never quite converted. And we also have this phenomena too, that we have rebaptized a good number of people so that they would receive the Spirit of God, so Christ would come in them completely. Now, if you're in that category, you ask for our baptism book so you can understand about your calling. You can understand about the truth of the covenant of baptism that you need to be in. We have many, many people that we've been able to help that way. All right, notice. Opens the door, I will come into him and sup with him and he with me. A relationship with God. Through studying the Word of God, which is eating the Word of God. Through yielding to God in prayer and spirit. Loving God with all our heart, mind, and soul, and being. That's how we overcome being Laodicean. And we can. Notice the reward is great. Because you've been through the whole gamut of everything, from the low to the high. From the false to the truth. From lukewarm to zealous. To everyone who overcomes, I will give authority to sit with me in my throne. We're going to judge. Even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne, the one who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now let's continue on. Right here in the book of Revelation, chapter 4 and 5, have to do with the preparation and the opening of the seven seals. Now, the timing of these things, we don't know. The events, we can pretty well discern. But what we are dealing with now is, in chapter 4 and chapter 5, the setting of the stage of the beginning of the return of Jesus Christ. Now, let's pick it up here in chapter 6. We have the first four seals come very quickly. The gathering of the false religion of the world, then which is the white seal or the white horse, then the red horse, which is red. Then we come to the third seal, and that is the black horse, which has to do with famine and starvation. And know for sure, the terrible events that happen, we are going to be subject to famine and starvation and death very quickly. And then comes the fourth seal, where one-fourth of the earth is devastated and destroyed with war, with famine, with killing, all of that. Now, then the fifth seal is the martyrdom of the saints. And the martyrdom of the saints is when the world comes after us, because they will say, you are responsible for all of this that is going on. If we just get rid of the Christians, we will be able to solve our problems. Just like all authoritarian dictatorships have. Now, this is going to be a worldwide one. And he's going to have authority to make war with the saints. So therefore, we've got to be strong in the Lord in everything that we do. Now, there's going to come a time during the tribulation, and we will see tomorrow that that is approximately 2 years, the full 2 years into the tribulation. Then an event is going to take place such as never happened in the whole history of mankind. And this event is going to be absolutely awesome. And this marks the end of man against man. And now it's going to be God and his angels against Satan, men, and the demons. This event is going to be an absolutely startling thing. The whole world will know it. The whole world will understand something great and awesome and mammoth is taking place. So let's see what that is, and we'll pick it up tomorrow right at this same point. Verse 12, this is after the martyrdom of the saints. And when he opened the sixth seal, I looked, and behold, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as the hair of sackcloth, and the moon became as blood. We are going to see awesome and fearful sights, as it says in Luke 21, that men are going to be dying of heart attacks for the things that are taking place. And it says the waves are going to roar. That's talking about tsunami waves because of the earthquakes. And the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree casts its untimely figs when it's shaken by a mighty wind. That's going to get everyone's attention. That sets the stage for the next event of the sixth seal. And it's going to startle the world. And they are going to believe that that the invasion from outer space is going to happen. And they even know, it says here, that they understand it's from God and the wrath of the Lamb. It will be phrased differently in their own words. This is an alien invasion from outer space. It's going to be a sight to behold. Now notice what this is going to be. Then the heavens departed like a scroll when it's rolled together, rolled up. And every mountain and island was moved out of its place. Now notice, it involves everyone in the world. Verse 15. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the powerful men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountains, trying to get away. What is this going to happen into heavens? What are they going to see? All right. So they said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, because the great day of his wrath is come, and who has the power to stand? Now, we'll see how that's going to appear, because we're going to understand that the return of Jesus Christ is not just a sudden thing and here he is. They're going to see it coming for a great long period of time before it actually happens. So you come back tomorrow for the Feast of Pentecost, and we will see how this event takes place.